chapter number 19, please. Psalms chapter number 19. Great, great chapter of scripture here. I enjoy this passage. I've enjoyed studying it. Rob will remember this too. We used to sing this, a lot of this chapter. You remember that, Rob, back in the day? A lot of this stuff we'll sing. So I'm going to try real hard not to sing the passage to you as I read through it, but it's kind of catchy once you know a tune that goes with it. Maybe someday Rob will teach you that. By the way, it's great getting some new hymns that we don't normally sing, right? Four or five people knew that hymn. I think it's great. I mean, not on a Sunday morning with visitors here, but when it's just us and we're learning a new one, jump on board, man. That hymn book is full of good hymns. That's something else we're working on. We're going to try to update our hymn book still or soon. If you look at the front of that hymn book, I think it says Oak Street Baptist Church or something like that on the front of it. You guys see that? You all know that we're not Oak Street Baptist Church. Those were donated to us when we started the church. I'm not even sure where they came from or who donated them, but we've had those since we started the church, and so we're that cheap around here. It's pretty bad. So it's time for us to update the hymn book, so we're going to be doing that fairly soon, but learning new hymns is good. Psalm 19, verse number 1, to the chief musician, the title, first of all, Psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Notice the way this is worded. It's very interesting. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit, see that, unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jim Richardson, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about truth, the importance of truth. We all need truth. I want you to understand this. When I say truth, I'm talking about something that's not a variable. Not something that has, you know, situationally morphs. Situationally like a chameleon. I'm talking about something solid, something real, something absolutely foundational, that doesn't move, doesn't bend, doesn't change. Absolute rock solid truth. I'm glad today there still is truth. You live in a generation where it's all this weird talk about, well, that's your truth, and I want you to speak your truth, and what do you think it is? And well, that's what it is to you, then that's what it is, because it's that in your world. And that's a very, very dangerous way to build your life. That's a very, very dangerous thing to teach your children. I'm not talking about that kind of truth. You have a generation that is redefining everything. So when I say truth now, that means like almost nothing, to be honest with you. Listen, if something is true, then it is the opposite of an error. Does that make sense? If it's true, it's true. It does not matter whether you believe it's true or not, it's still true. That's the kind of truth I'm talking about. I like that kind of strength. I like that kind of focus. I like to know there's somewhere that I can go and I can plant my feet, and I know that no matter what's happening, no matter how confused I am, no matter how uncertain I am, there is something that I can stand on that is rock solid, that's not going to change. It is my compass. It is what I can guide myself back to. It's my rock. It's something I can fasten myself to. It's my anchor that no matter what's happening, I have truth. I like truth. I appreciate truth. I thank God that we have a God of truth. This foolishness nowadays of speaking your truth and believing your truth and whatever your truth is, what they'll do is, in the same context of trying to redefine truth, what they'll be talking about is diversity, right? You're going to find that kind of a foggy definition of truth is always linked with this spirit, and it's a spirit. It's always linked with this spirit of diversity. And let me tell you something, it's not truth at all, it's absolute error. And it's not diversity at all, it's division. Has anybody noticed? The more we're talking about diversity, diversity, accepting diversity, the more divided we become. You see, that is the sneakiness and the dangerousness of redefining the word according to man's philosophy, according to man's opinion, according to man's culture, according to man's preference. It's an extremely dangerous place to go. The same mentality is always talking about building back, right? Building up, stomping out poverty, fixing our problems. You know what they're doing? They're not building anything, and they never will. Do you hear what I said? They never will. They're breaking down. You know why they're breaking down? Because they don't have truth. That exact same mentality does not lead to law and order. It leads to anarchy. Well, my truth is, well, that's how you see it, and that's fine for you, but how I see it and my truth is, okay, so my truth is, if I don't like your face, I'm taking your head off. That's Mike Reagan truth. That's Mike Reagan without the Lord, without any parents instructing him. Just, hey, somebody brought this kid into the world, stuffed food in his mouth, he grew and stayed alive, and what kind of a personality does this individual have? If I don't like you and you annoy me, I eliminate you. That's my truth. Delete button. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? That's error, isn't it? Well, it's my truth. Who are you to judge me? You see what that does? That eliminates all law and order. That eliminates all focus. That takes away from you your ability to have your feet on anything solid and figure out right and wrong about anything. What I thank God for is truth. And can I say this evening? All men have truth. Every human being has been given truth. Everyone is without excuse. The issue is, what do you do when you receive the truth? What do you do with the truth when you receive it? That's the issue. I want truth. And you'll notice in this passage of Scripture, we have an absolutely rich passage that is filled with truth. What you have in Psalm 19 is something you can build your entire life on. What you have in Psalm 19 is what you can build your science on. What you have in Psalm 19 is what you can build your worldview on. What you have in Psalm 19 is something you can build your personal walk with Jesus Christ on. If you're married, you can build your marriage on it. If you have children, you can build your children on it. If you have a job and a career in the world, you can build everything you are, your emotions, your thought process. Everything can be built off of Psalm 19, because in Psalm 19, you have absolute unadulterated truth. The first thing you'll notice about the truth is the declaration of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Watch this. What's happening? He said, the heavens declare God's glory. The heavens literally preach to every person on the planet that there is a God, and He's amazing, and He's almighty, and He's all-powerful. He's everything. He is something to be worshipped. And I say awesome, but not in the punk sense. In the genuine sense of the word, awesome. Like awe-inspiring. Like there's no words for it. Like it's breathtaking to imagine the power of God. The heavens preach them. You know how they preach them? Innately. Instinctively. Not a person on the planet doesn't at some point or another walk out and look up at those stars and think, there's got to be something much bigger than me. I don't care where you're from, what culture you're in. I don't care if you're stuck out in Bula Bula land somewhere and you've never seen a normal civilized human being. You think everybody wears face paint and loincloths and that's life. You're going to walk out and look up at those stars and you're going to know there's something up there. The heavens preach it. The firmament shows His handiwork. It shows something was done. That word handiwork, that's a very interesting word. I got thinking about that because in all honesty, everybody in this world knows everything happens by intelligent design. You live a life surrounded by and filled with intelligent design. You drove here in a vehicle that got to you and functions by somebody with a brain putting it together, figuring out how it works. You put on clothes that happened by intelligent design. You walk into a house, get in a shower, and the water turns on, turn on the heat, and the furnace works. Everything you do, you walk into the grocery store, and everything there is intelligent design. And if you're female, you understand how the stuff really works. Us fellas, we don't really get it, but they know like what's on sale and what's not on sale and where stuff is and how to find it. And well, I mean, obviously, if you're looking for that thing, it's going to be over in that department. Obviously, nothing. I'm in the kale looking for batteries. You understand what I mean? This stuff doesn't make much sense to me, but it is actually pretty intelligent the way they lay it out. You know, when something's on sale or getting expired or whatever, they put it up front. They put a big red sign on it, sale, reduced price. Everybody walking in there gets caught. They design the thing so you have to move around stuff to go find what it is you're actually looking for. Very intelligent. Everything is intelligent design. Nothing happens without somebody sitting back and thinking about how to structure it, how to build it, how to make it happen. In other words, we all, like I mentioned, Bula Bula Land, I don't know what that is or where it is, but listen, they know they got to go out and hunt it. They know they got to make it to put it on. They know they have to build it to live in it. In other words, nobody in all absolute honesty ever steps back and says, I really believe down deep in my soul, the most intelligent conclusion is just randomness, big bang, millions of years, gradually developing it. No, everybody recognizes that somebody was behind that and somebody had to build that. It just makes sense. The heavens preach to us that there's something out there bigger than us and He created it all. Declares His glory. And what I find interesting about this first part in verses 1 through 6, the declaration of God, is that in His creation, you'll notice speaking, you'll notice words. Watch it. The heavens do what? They declare, right? That's speaking. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth what? And night unto night showeth knowledge. It's teaching. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Watch this. Their line is gone out through all the earth. You know, still measure things by latitude and longitude. North, south, east, and west. You ever see a compass? It's lines. Stupid thing in my car, man. I'm still trying to figure out. I don't even care about all that stuff, you know. And it's like, you know, something about you want to know your location or something, a vehicle health report. And I'm like, okay, push that. Everything's fine. Okay, whatever. Why'd that come up? You know what I mean? So you want to know, and I pushed my location, and it gave me latitude and longitude. And I'm like, whatever. They're lying. They're going out through all the world. What do you have when you're reading the actual words of God? Line upon line, precept upon precept. You know what the creation does? Creation preaches truth at you. Let's be honest for a minute and not be all churchy, okay? Be honest. You ever have moments where you start to doubt? So much information comes at you all the time, and they're always trying to sound so smart and undermine God and make you really doubt everything. And do you ever have some of those moments where you're like, man, I wonder? Well, just take a stroll outside on a night when there's no clouds and look up. Just take a little bit of a break from life and go down to the Blue Ridge Parkway and get out on that parkway and drive. Just go to the Grand Canyon and look at it. Just go sit at the side of the ocean and sit there and just ask God, God, why do those waves stop? How are they not drowning me right now? Folks, you got to realize, man, the truth is right out in front of you. Stop and listen to a little bird sing. You ever do that? Do you ever hear the bird over there respond to the bird over here, and they go back and forth and they're communicating with each other, and you just stop and think about that? One of the best things for me, I love it, man. I get up in the morning. It's no big deal. I get up in the morning and walk out on the back porch, and the sun is just coming up, man. And it's breaking through those trees, and there's streams that come through those leaves, and a little bit of a fog, and that sun's bouncing off that fog that's coming up off the lawn. And man, I'm just like, wow, Lord. Do you ever notice that the sun dies blood red in the west? Yeah. And it rises again every morning? You know what it's doing? It's preaching to you. You cannot make creation fit a Quran. You cannot make creation fit a Book of Mormon. But the more you study that Bible, the more you see the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, and that book is preaching to you, and it's line upon line and precept upon precept. And man, that'll build your faith if you stop and look at what God's handiwork is. You guys know that the sun, the earth rotates against the sun. So if you want to go toward the sun, you have to go against the world. If you go with the world, you're going away from the sun. If you just try to take a neutral position, we were talking about on the way to church here, some illustrations of families that we know that just wound up a complete mess, and like, what happened? And I'm not trying to be a know-it-all or in other people's business, but it's like people that are close to us and it bothers us and kids know about it. And I said, this is what happened. I personally know 30 years ago, they wanted one foot in the world on Friday night, one foot in the church on Sunday morning. And it was like, well, you know, Pastor, I know Pastor doesn't agree with this, but we're not getting drunk, kids. We're just having a couple beers, and you're too young, but, you know, we're just having a couple beers, and it's no big deal. And I know Pastor's, I know how he is, but this is just what, it's no big deal. And training the family to kind of like, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is when you try to just kind of be neutral with the world and not against God, guess what you're doing? You're going away from Jesus Christ, because the earth naturally rotates against the sun. It's just all preaching at you all the time, constantly, 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 declaring his glory, showing his handiwork. Truth is right there. You ever notice as you read your Bible how many illustrations from nature are in the Bible? It's a powerful thing. You see the fingerprint of God all over it, and I'm not going to take a whole bunch of time preaching it, but I could. There's a sun, there's a moon, and there's stars. You know, the sun brings light into the darkness. And when the sun's gone, it's all dark. But then what happens? The moon follows the sun. And what the moon does is it stays just enough separated from the world, hint, hint, and just enough in fellowship with the sun that it can reflect the light of the sun. The moon's dead in and of itself. It's not producing any light, but it takes the light that the sun gives it and reflects it into a dark world. It's wild. Truth is right in front of you. The declaration of truth is seen in the handiwork of God in verses 1 through 6. But the second thing I want you to notice is that if you and I really are people of truth, the first step is in recognizing God's handiwork. It's in seeing it in creation. It's in the obvious common sense, right? The obvious common sense that you can see by looking around. You respond to that light. You respond to that truth. You say, okay, the argument is conclusive. I used to feel like in preparing a message like this, this hit me yesterday. I used to feel like in preparing a message like this that I had to go do a bunch of research on science and break out a bunch of the scientific stuff and lay it all out for you. And it just dawned on me that that's kind of a waste of my time. There's a lot of Bible here for me to teach you. And y'all can Google too. I could sound really smart by Googling and laying out a bunch of scientific information, but if you really want truth and you really want your faith strengthened, there's plenty of resources out there for you to go look at and just find out about science in the Bible. Find out about biblical apologetics and biblical proof through nature and all that stuff. It's all out there for you to go find it if you really want the truth. If you respond to the truth that you obviously see and respond to it the right way with a heart of God, I want absolute truth. And you are out there. There's no doubt about it. Now I'm responding to all that I know. Please give me more. You know what he'll do? He'll give you more. But if you don't respond to that truth, look at Romans chapter number 1. Keep your finger here in Psalm 19. We'll be right back in a minute. Look at Romans chapter number 1. Truth is a dangerous thing, folks. Truth is intended by God to save your soul. We'll see that in a minute. But that exact same sword has two edges. Light rejected becomes lightning. You watch it. You can watch it. You can watch it happen. You stay in church long enough, you'll watch it happen. God will deal with somebody about something, and they'll be right about everything else, but there's one thing God's dealing with, and they don't want to get that one thing right. And when they reject that light, God shuts off the lights. You don't get to say, well, God, I want all these other truths and I'm good about everything else. I mean, I'm doing all the other things I'm supposed to be doing. What about that? God says, we're talking about this one. And when you reject light, it becomes lightning. What was intended, we'll see in a minute, to bring you joy and great reward turns into judgment and great sorrow. Romans 1 verse 19, you're seeing it all over this nation and world right now. Because that which may be known of God, Romans 1:19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. See where it is? Yeah. Didn't I tell you right at the beginning it's instinctive? Yeah. In every human being everywhere. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Even a kid with a moderate amount of common sense, you can walk him outside and say, look at those stars, honey. I say honey because I'm a girl dad, okay? If it's a boy, you say, hey, boy, look at those stars. You say it kind of like with a little bit of a, you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you think? Wow. Yeah, there's no God, right? How could anybody be that? I don't know, honey. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Why? It's natural. It's natural. God put it in you. God put it in everybody. So don't ever buy this garbage. Well, I just don't know how a holy God could send somebody to hell for eternity. I mean, there are people that have never heard the gospel. Always said by somebody who doesn't pass out gospel tracts, doesn't give to missions, wouldn't dream of selling their house and going to Bula Bula Land's the land of the night. Pray for Bula Bula Land. God will know which one you're talking about. Wouldn't dream of it. But that same hypocritical lying fool, I just couldn't understand that God would. I'll tell you how. You study your Bible and you'll know God better. He talks to every one of them. And that's exactly how some missionaries randomly wind up in places that nobody's ever heard of before. Because somebody in that tribe, and I could tell you stories about it, somebody in that tribe was seeking the truth. And God sends a missionary there and you'll hear stories of entire tribes getting saved. Why? Because God's the judge. He's looking and he's seeing the ones that are responding and the ones that aren't. He's seeing the ones that turn it into idolatry because that's what they'd prefer. And they create a rock god and kneel down and bow to something they made with their own hands and they could destroy with the same. Common sense tells you that ain't right. They'll commit crimes against children and homosexuality and everything else going on in those places without a television, without marketing, without liberal agendas pushing it. Man's human nature leading them to that same stuff. Because God put it all in them. And when they turn from the truth, they go down the same route everybody else does. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him. There's some things of him we haven't seen, right? From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, the Trinity, is seen in what he designed. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The sun, the moon, the stars, the way God set everything up in threes, body, soul, spirit. You can go and just look at it, research it on your own, the way the universe is held together by threes. It's a wild thing. So that they, verse 20, are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Nothing to me seems stupider than thinking this all happened by accident. Amen. That supposedly evolution, you know, what is it, natural selection, and the same yahoos are then preaching climate change.
Yeah. It's another lie.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. If it's all falling apart, your whole philosophy ain't working. If we're getting better, if evolution's true, maybe we're supposed to eradicate this planet and go to Mars. And some of them are even making those suggestions. Why? Because they're flat fools, man. It's so obvious in front of you. If some of you kids start buying that party line, it's because you want you want error. That's why. Because you know, sitting in a church like this, if you started, most of you have been in here a few years now. You sit here under this kind of preaching for years, and then you go to school and you begin to doubt the Bible and doubt the Word of God. That is your wicked little heart.
Amen.
It is obvious that there's a God. And it is obvious that the stuff they're trying to teach doesn't make common sense.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, preacher, that's talking about the Bible. I know that's our next point, but wait. Something really interesting is verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, meaning truly. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. Back to Psalm 19. Back to Romans chapter 1. You know what God's saying? Oh, they've all heard, buddy. Psalm 19, please. The heavens declare, the heavens preach. Did you see all those words in there that I pointed out to you just a little bit ago that have to do with the words and the preaching and the declaration and the lines and all the stuff that creation's teaching you? That's truth right in your face. Isn't that amazing? I mean, folks, God's got it all figured out. So then when somebody responds to the truth that God's given and shows a hunger for truth, watch the natural progression. He goes from saying, God, I see you in the world. I see you in creation. Down from that, this who is this God, the creator God, a little bit of ambiguity to that if you just leave it at that, right? So there could be like, well, maybe that's Allah, or maybe that's, you know, you pick your God, right? So wait a second, when a guy really sees there's an intelligent design to this thing, there is a God, and responds to that from a sincere heart, not rejecting that, responding to that, the next step, what happens is he winds up from the lines seen and the preaching heard into the lines given. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. You've got the declaration of God in truth, but you've got the desire of a godly man when he begins to walk in truth. His desire will be to get in the Bible and to know the Word of God. He says the law of the Lord is perfect. He doesn't just always sit and stare at the stars. He gets serious in his time alone. He gets serious in the work that it takes to put his eyeballs in the Bible and to start studying the Bible and researching the Scriptures and comparing Scripture to Scripture and saturating himself with the truths of the Word of God. He's willing to put the work in to study the Bible and recognizes that, man, that book has no error in it at all. It is perfect, and man, it brings a change in my heart. Amen. You see what happens? It's a natural progression when you want truth. You will want Bible if you really want truth. And if you don't want Bible, you don't want truth. You have an entire generation of Christians that claim to believe in God, divine, intelligent design, Jesus, but they don't want truth. They don't want Bible. So now what you have is you have a mixture of the world and the church. I'm on it again. Why? I'm on it again because when you mix the world and the church, what happens? The world goes directly against the sun. If you're not going against the world, you're getting farther from the sun. You can judge where you are with God by your relationship to the world. The focus is not the world. The focus is I'm going toward the sun. You understand that? It's not an antagonistic attitude of me against the world because I hate the world. It's I'm really interested in getting to truth. I'm really interested in more light from the Scriptures. I'm really interested in getting to the Son. I really want to get closer to Him. I really want to reflect His light. And naturally, you will wind up going against the world. You will be more separated than you ever thought you would be just by a desire for truth and getting in that book and learning that it's perfect. And it brings a conversion. So people that want truth and recognize it in creation, they will wind up, God will get them the Word of God. And what happens? It converts the soul. Because it's a perfect book. Look at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Remember in my introduction to the message, something solid? Testimony of the Lord is sure. You can take it to the bank. You can guarantee it. That's encouraging to me as a parent. I'm doing the best I know how to do. So if I'm following the Bible as much as I know, then I can be sure that I'm doing the right thing. I can be sure that whatever decisions they make, it was not my fault. I did do the best that I knew how to do, and that'll bring peace to my heart. The law of the Lord is sure doing what? Making wise the simple. Giving the right direction to those who aren't sure which way to go. In other words, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You have to be a biblical person. You don't have to have the highest IQ. You have to love the truth. I'll say this. You don't have to have the most Bible knowledge. I know some guys that got a lot of Bible knowledge, but they're kind of idiots. You have to desire truth. You have to love that book. And what's it do? It makes wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Man, it's nice to have some things that are just right. Have you ever been incensed by something that's wrong?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, like, that is just wrong. And they're letting them get away with it. Have you ever done wrong? I've been like, man, I can't believe I did that. Ooh, I hate myself. You know what that book is? It's right. Man, it's nice to have something that's always right. I'm not always right. Don't tell my wife. I don't want her to know. But I'm not always right. I know this. I got some people I love and respect and think a lot of. But they're not always right. I got one thing I can go to in my life that is absolutely always right. And it's that book you're holding in your lap. Unless you're holding something besides the King James. Then there's a lot of errors. But I love you anyhow. It's cool. No problem. Just keep coming to church. It's always right. And you know what right things bring? It's in the verse. Not making it up. The statutes of the Lord are right, doing what? Rejoicing the heart. You know right things bring joy? You kids want to be happy? Do right. You know why you're miserable sometimes? You ever get just miserable? Now, I'm not talking to just kids anymore. Adults, you ever just get miserable? Yeah, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. Sometimes I get in those moods, I don't want to see or talk to nobody. I know that's terrible, especially for a pastor, but I just get in the moods where I just want to be left alone. You know why? Something ain't right. That's why. You know when you're right, you're happy. You know why you need to love truth? It'll bring you joy and rejoicing. It'll straighten you up. The testimonies of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, it seems like the longer I live, the more pure things just mean a lot to me. I think it's because this world's just dirtier and dirtier and dirtier all the time. And all the dirty little wicked hearts of everybody just gravitates toward all the dirt. Purity is beautiful. I mean, something just clean and just pure. You know what you got in your lap? A pure book. And it enlightens the eyes. In other words, you see things other people don't see. You recognize stuff they don't recognize. Yeah, let them act like that. That's fine. Give it 5 years. Give it 10 years. Give it 15 years and come back and talk to me. In the meanwhile, I'm keeping my eyes in the book, and with the help of God, I'm living by the book. Let's compare notes in 10 years. Let's see who's happy and who's not. Oh, you guys, your parents don't let you do anything. Your parents are so strict. Okay, well, come back to me in 10 years. And the mama and daddy that are smoking dope with you, let's see where they're at, and let's see where you're at. I don't care if it's legal. I knew that was coming a long time ago, you know, this medical stuff. And then they're making it legal. Well, okay. Do what you want, man. It's your life. Let's compare notes in 10 years. In the meanwhile, I'm following this book. I'm going to try to do right. The fear of the Lord is clean. See verse 9, enduring forever. I won't spend too much time on that one because we'll get on it on Sunday night. But have a little bit of fear of God is good. You need to recognize that He sees and He knows and He is the judge. You know where you get that? You get that from the truth. If he can fling those stars out in space, just like that, just and He made the stars also. That's all He said about it. Like, are you joking? You don't think He can whoop you? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Somebody was interviewing Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson told him, he said, money don't make anybody happy. I got millions. And he said, anybody that thinks money makes them happy ain't never had none. That's fairly profound for him. The sad part of it is, so, okay, then what are you living for? He said, me. And I thought, wow, my, ain't that demonic. And he said, and my family. Hope they don't break your heart. Can I tell you something, church? You got something much better to live for than money. Much better to live for than you. Whatever makes you happy. That's why people walk away from their spouses, break their children's hearts. Because they're living for me. Okay, fool. Why don't you desire the truth? Why don't you desire the words of God? Why don't you put that at the very top of your list and say, God, I want to know you and your truth more than anything else in the world. That's what I need and that's what I want. And see how that works out for you. My last point, God's direction is seen in truth. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Why do we need a warning from the truth? By them, by the truth, by the words of God, by the law of God, thy servant is warned. Why do you need a warning? Because you have errors. And you have errors you can't even understand. I'm not trying to be mean in any way, but I remember looking back now more and more. I look back at me 20 years ago when I first got married, and I think, man, if God hadn't have given me such a good wife, if we hadn't have been in church and had a Bible, there is no way. I didn't know it. I thought I was a phenomenal husband. I thought finishing her sentences every time she opened her mouth was just normal. It's because I know what she's thinking and I'm helping her out. Right. I thought just running her over and controlling the conversations all the time and just all the stuff that I was, my errors. It's like, it's not like you're trying to be, what were you doing, preacher? Taking the family money and buying crack. And no, just like my errors. Like, man, I look back, I'm so thankful. Somebody came to me with, I don't know, like 400 of my messages. Hey, I got them all. Do you want them? From when you started the church till this, I said, no, get rid of them. Even now people come, oh, I'm listening to you online. I'm like, okay, good. Oh, you preached back in 2009. Oh, no. Like, you know why? Because who can understand his errors? Right. Sometimes even when you're trying to do everything, you don't see yourself. Right. You know what you need? Truth. You know parenting? Think of parenting. That's a big deal, and it's a little overwhelming from time to time. You can stick your hand up without your kid looking. A little overwhelming from time to time, a little frustrating. You ever run into a situation where you just don't know what to do? And then you ever stop to consider, wonder if I'm doing anything wrong? By the way, kids, all of your parents have errors. And when it's your turn, you'll be lucky to do as good of a job as they're doing. Because that's part of being a sinful human being. Who can understand his errors? Well, this is why we need the Bible. So what we're doing here tonight, the Holy Spirit of God will put his finger on something and show you something that had nothing to do with the message. It's just the power of preaching. It's just the power of the Bible. It's just the power of the Spirit of God. It's just the response of a God who loves truth to somebody reaching out for more truth. That's how it works. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins are bold sins. Confident sins. Doing something you swore you'd never do again. And then you just did it again. And I'll never do that again. God, please forgive me. God, if you forgive me. God, if you get me, I will never do it again, Lord. And then guess what you do? You presumptuous sinner. It's just assuming that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is always going to be there. He said, keep me back from them, God. How? Through truth. Through the Bible. Let them not have dominion over me. He should be holding with the cords of his sin. In other words, eventually some of those things will control you. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Did you hear that? You sow a deed, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. It becomes who you actually are. I know some 40-year-old drunks and 40-year-old drug addicts. I know some guys I went to school with are dead because they sowed deeds and reaped a habit. Those deeds became habits in their life, and that habit became their character. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's that? Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38. Don't turn there because I'm wrapping it up and let you go, but you can jot it down if you want. You know what it is? It's the first and great commandment. You know what that is, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's the great transgression. It's not loving God. Do you know truth, loving truth and seeking truth will keep you from committing that sin? A heart for truth. God, I want more truth. My parents raised us, and it was something they were planting in me I didn't realize. But it's a decision that the thing that Grace's parents planted in her too that brought us to the point we're at here today, pastor, in this church. And this was it. It was church is first. That's that. Listen, I know this for a fact, and it's not just one or two, so I'm going to say it publicly because that's a bunch of you right now. The devil's coming after this church. A bunch of people. Nobody's in sin or don't think it like that. I'm just watching multiple people get hit from multiple angles. Let me just warn you something, like, kindly, not preaching at you, not being mean, not being, make sure you keep, and I'm not saying this church, I'm not saying Bible Believers Church, I'm saying a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where you can be fed first. And if you don't have that, God's not leading you there. Why? Because of the importance of truth. It will keep you in check. It'll keep those presumptuous sins, those errors exposed. It'll keep that marriage strong. It'll keep that walk with Jesus Christ strong. It'll keep that family strong. It'll keep that joy going in your heart. You won't be happier without it. I'm glad my parents taught us that. They even went to an extreme, man. When we were on family vacation, we drove an hour if we had to be in a Bible-believing church. Well, that's a better extreme than the other. God, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Then I'll be innocent from the great transgression. Verse 14, and we're done. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, the things I say and the things I think about. The meditation of my heart. God, I want it to be acceptable in your sight. Now, wait a second. How are you going to know it's acceptable? Well, I think and I feel and I believe. I don't think that's wrong. My opinion is, my truth is, no. You may be so deceived it's not even funny because Lucifer looks like an angel and makes all the common sense in the world. You've got to judge it based on that book in your lap. That's the handiwork of God. That's the lines of God. That's the declaration of God. And what he's showing you is the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I heard a message this week I'd never heard from Brother Lentz. And it was real good. He said a young man came to him and said, preacher, give me whatever you think. And he said, he was asking it for the right reasons. Whatever you think, can you give me a couple things on truth? How do I know I have truth? I'm looking for truth. I want truth. How do I know I have it? And he said these three things. He said, number one, truth always honors God. The heavens declare his glory. Truth always honors him. Number two, truth always glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, truth always humbles men. And now you know why most men don't want the truth. Because that humbling thing, people will die and burn in hell forever to save their precious pride. Misery. God's saying, I've got all the truth in the world here for you. I've got joy. I've got pleasures forevermore. Will you just humble yourself and accept the truth? Folks, we need to be a people who love the truth. And if you love the truth, you'll get closer to Jesus Christ. He'll humble you. He'll show you the things about you that need to change. He'll give you the joy you need. He'll get you through. You'll have Him. And that's more to be desired than gold. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you tonight. We'll go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you.